Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Beyond the Numbers. And here we are, your fantastic hosts. I am Ben, and this is Will, and we are bringing you all the good stuff tonight. We're going to talk about football in all of its glory. And I think we should start with a recap, sir, of everything from Thursday night all the way up through what's currently happening. Also, don't mind us, folks. We will probably be bringing some in-the-moment reactions to some things that are happening in the game right now between the Lions and the Ravens, but so it is. So I just want to start off, let you kind of get on your little tear there as a Dolphins fan about what happened in that game against the Bills. I know it hurt your heart. You may not want to talk too terribly long about it, but I figured I'd let you go first.
Yeah, I'm going to start off by saying I cannot stand Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Aloysius Tagovailoa. Why? Out of all of the things that happened in that game, that was the only thing that just completely irritated me to no end. I don't get how it happened. It's like you telegraphed the entire thing. Are you not a quarterback? Are you not a quarterback? We're telegraphing stuff now. We're looking directly at the person and saying, hey, go long. It's like, I don't get it. And that's exactly what I watched Tua do. It's like, and they replayed it like three times on during the game, and I had to turn it off. I turned it off immediately. It's like, why? That game would have went so much better if Tua just had to hold out one more drive. He had so many perfect drives, and they stopped the Bills. They stopped the Bills, sir, so many times. And it just didn't matter. It didn't matter in the end because Tua was bound to blow it. He was bound to blow the game, and I hate that. I hate it so much.
So I think when you take a look at that game and the way the things ended up, right, you know, I mean, 31-21, I don't think it was truly that close of a game. But then when you look at how the game ended, it was pretty even up until that fourth quarter. And then you could see the wheels start turning for the Bills. Now, the Dolphins kept it entertaining. They even kept it close. But I think the biggest thing that I look at is the stats.
We're not taking the disrespect, sir.
I'm going to point this out, sir, that the stats tell a bit of the story here. Tua, 22 of 34.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go with the stats, but I don't care. I watched the game. I did too,
and I watched that game, and I watched the Bills' offense play sleepy that first half. I watched their defense play like they play like it's a week one game and they're just getting warmed up. That is what I saw, because the Dolphins, they really, in my opinion, shouldn't have even been as close as it was. Tua was 22 of 34 for 146 yards. Dude completed 64% of his passes. He didn't do a whole lot. He threw the ball a lot, but he did not do a whole lot. 146 yards on 22 passes it's just crazy. It's a 4.29 average. That's not good for a quarterback. That means you're looking at that's three plays to get a first down. Just based off of that, he had two touchdowns and one interception. Now, the one thing I will I will give you is that the Dolphins, that interception was probably what changed the game, but that was late into the fourth quarter. So he was coming in to the second half. I believe it was 105 yards he had, and he was looking not good, but he was looking consistent with what little he was doing. The rushing situation wasn't too bad. They had a total of, for a team, 25 attempts for 130 yards and a touchdown. So their rushing game did do its job. Now, Waddle and Hill both had a touchdown. They did pretty well. But that's Dolphins. Let's look at the Bills. 22 of 28, 213 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. Now, the one thing I'll give you is they didn't sack to a single time. He did not have a sack on him that entire game. The only thing, though, is that in and of itself should make you wonder, like, okay, well, if he didn't get sacked any, then why did we struggle so much? He was under pressure, but, like, he never was under enough pressure to get sacked. The Bills' defense played back. They did not play what, honestly, I would think is the Bills' style of defense. But I digress.
I don't care.
I know.
I don't care even in the slightest of bits what those stats
are. My thing is
this is my perspective, okay? First off, you can't sleep on the Dolphins. People love the and, but you cannot. And the Bills playing as sloppy as they did in the first, they deserve to take the loss. My problem comes in with Tua. Yeah, you can call that roughing the kicker and all of that jazz, okay? That man was doing his job. Tua was not. He was not doing his job in the slightest when he made that Daniel Jones pass, and I cannot in the slightest bit condone, okay? And the Bills, on the other hand, they played just as sloppily. And if it hadn't have been for that pass, I can guarantee you Dolphins would have won that game. 100%. If it had went into overtime, they would have won. The defense was playing way too good, and Josh Allen had no answer for it. He couldn't move around like he usually did. He couldn't pull off the little toss passes that he usually does. None of it was clicking with the Bills in that game. Okay. And the Dolphins were about to capitalize all the way up until that one pass all the way late in the game. I get it. There could have been multiple opportunities for them to take the game. But that was the game. That was the pass that blew it. It doesn't make a difference how you want to look at it, how you want to put it.
Okay. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know that I'd necessarily disagree that it came down to the end of the game and it came down to ultimately a somewhat iffy performance, or really iffy performance on their end. In the end, defensively, the Bills they're just a tough team to beat, especially if you give them time. I mean, we talk all the time about how, you know, you can't give Mahomes 2 minutes. You know, you give Mahomes 2 minutes, it's crazy. They gave Josh Allen a little bit of time, and he said, all right, bet, I got you. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
I don't want to give that win to Josh. I don't want to give that win to the Bills because, if we're being honest, they don't deserve it. They do not deserve that credit or that title. The Dolphins blew that game for themselves. It wasn't the Bills that took it. Okay. They went down the field for the field goal, and there was no time left for the Dolphins to do anything. There was nothing to that Bills win that had anything to do with the Bills, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, I figured that would be a great starting point, and a quick update on the game. For those of you who are listening, the game is still 7-7. We are into the second quarter, and, well, it is a defensive showing if I've ever seen one. Gibbs and Montgomery both have ran a few times. Gibbs has a touchdown. He's ran 9 times for 10 yards. Dude's averaging barely a little over a yard a carry. But then, true Lions fashion, they're playing hard. Derrick Henry is too, but I don't know. The Lions might be with that duo back there. They might be too hard. Anyway,
the problem with this game right now is they need to use Montgomery. Montgomery is the key factor to this game. That
he's getting the touches and he's running good.
That's the thing. They can't use Gibbs against this aggressive defense. He's not big enough. He's gonna end up getting tossed around. everywhere. Montgomery's the bigger back. He has just as much power. He doesn't have as much speed, but it's the one that you need to use. The running game's not going to unlock until they do.
I think it's going to come down to considering how close it is right now, and we're halfway through the second quarter. I think it's going to come down to who gets the pass. They're both going to run a lot. You know, you're talking a very deadly backfield for the Lions with just the running backs that they have and their constant ability to swap them in and out. I mean, they're literally almost every other rep, it seems like they're changing, or at least every two or three. So they're not wearing themselves out, and they're minimizing injury. However, the Ravens, obviously, we know they have Lamar back there with Derrick Henry. And when you have a combination like that, you then add more of the RPO dynamic. Goff isn't mobile like Lamar by any stretch. So I'm kind of on that. But right now, the Lions are down in the red zone. 16 plays, 89 yards, going on 10 minutes for this drive. That's crazy talk. They've been playing.
That's insane.
They've been playing almost a quarter, a quarter's worth of game on this singular drive. So that's, they're going to win the time of possession at this point. Like, they're winning time of possession, I would say, by like, well.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
And did he just get in?
No, he didn't.
He got in. Yeah,
he was down. He was down. All right, but let's move on to the next game.
Who you got? You got a choice on the next game? I was just going to go with the Panthers and the Falcons. But
yes, we could talk about my Panthers.
Yeah.
I told you, Chuba and Bryce Young did not come to play. They came to do some damage, and
sir,
that's what they did.
Let me be entirely honest with you here.
Let's go. I want to hear it. I want to hear the excuses.
No excuses. None. I think I should have listened to you on that one. Don't get me wrong. I didn't think that the Falcons would play this poorly. I mean, to be completely shut out, 30-0. You've got Bijan. You know, granted, you know, they literally benched Penix because he was playing bad. I repeat, and it showed online that he was out. And it said in parentheses, bad. Never seen that before, ever. My fantasy roster didn't take a hit because I didn't have Penix as my quarterback. But when it said on that thing there that he was out for bad, not an injury, bad. And I look at his stats and I see that he had two interceptions and no touchdowns. And I think he completed, it was like, let's just see. Yeah, 50% of his passes, 172 yards. And well, not saying that Kirk Cousins made any difference, because when he came in, well, it was what it was. But you were right. I'm just going to be honest. You were right.
I saw it coming specifically because the Panthers are another one of those sleeper teams. One of those teams that if you go in there to play with them, you're going to lose. And it's not going to be pretty either. The every game last year, when everybody thought that the Panthers were down and out and they were never going to take it, they took it, and they took it in phenomenal fashion, and I just expected the exact same thing. The Falcons are not playing up to how they should be. Nobody can tell me that Penix is up for the task. And matter of fact, nobody will tell me after what they saw last week. Plain and simple. There's nothing in that performance that can justify what Penix did. I saw a clip where the man was walking around, like was running around like he was walking. It's crazy.
Here's my only thing. Bryce Young was not the reason that they did anything worth anything in this game. I don't know if you look at the stat lines. He was 16 of 24 for 121 yards. Granted, he didn't throw any interceptions.
He scored the first touchdown as well.
He did not throw a touchdown, sir. He had no touchdowns.
He scored the first touchdown. He ran in.
Rushing?
The-
okay. Yeah, he had a rushing touchdown, and so did Dowdle, which I kind of thought Chuba would have got in there, but Dowdle's been, he's been on one.
It's okay, let Chuba rest. He's there for a threat.
Yeah.
He's a threat. Chuba's a threat.
Chuba's not a threat, I'm sorry. He's just not a threat.
You're not about to disrespect my boy.
I'll light you, but I never have. I don't think he's that good of a player, but yeah.
He's the only one on the Panthers that scores most of the time. He has the most touchdowns on the
team. But it's irrelevant when your team isn't producing anything enough to get the wins. The game against the Falcons, yeah, I give you that.
I will.
But I don't know. 30-0, I don't know how much more there is to say about that. I was wrong.
There's nothing to say. My Panthers came to play. I knew they were going to come to play because everybody plays with them. Just like the Dolphins almost took on the Bills. If we're being honest, week three was a crazy week.
It was.
The Eagles almost lost to the Rams, just like I thought they were going to. If Jalen Hurts didn't start putting it in the air like he was supposed to, week one and week two, he was going to lose. They were about to lose in a drastic fashion, by the way. They didn't score until the third quarter. I think Jalen Hurts had one rushing touchdown in the first quarter, and then they were scoreless up until like the third or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
That's insanity.
It's, yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, this was definitely a week of close games, upsets, and as much as I really, absolutely, truly despise it, even the Browns won somehow against Green Bay, somehow.
No, we're getting to that because you like upset me. We already upset you a little bit. But let's move on into the Bengals and the Vikings, the one that you were the most right about.
Yeah.
I should have never touched the Jake Browning. That was a terrible mistake on my behalf. The Bengals ended up losing 10-48. Had the nerve to score a touchdown in the fourth, like it mattered or something.
It was pride at that point, you know, Cincinnati pride.
Had the nerve, the outright gall. We're talking Sam Browning had, what, two interceptions? No, he had an interception.
Two interceptions, fumble. You were right.
Oh.
He did throw that touchdown to make up for his horrible performance.
The Bengals are going to be dark this year, if anything, if this last game says anything about it, and it hurts because, you know, I got them on my futures bet to win the Super Bowl. I thought Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase were about to come out and do some real damage, but seems like I was completely and totally wrong.
Yeah.
And the Vikings just proved that. Carson Wentz went crazy.
Here's last episode, we were talking about this, and we were, of course, kind of skirting through it a little bit, but Carson Wentz is not a slouch of a quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. Carson Wentz really is probably one of my favorite quarterbacks that out of the backup, you know, the backup pool of quarterbacks for this year. The fact of the matter is, I don't know why he's not playing somewhere as it is as a starter. I mean, let's be honest, he's got a Super Bowl win. He's played really well in some really impressive games. I just honestly, once McCarthy comes back, if I were them, I'd consider if Carson can continue to play like this the next couple of weeks, which, I mean, he's generally fairly consistent, I feel like, over the last several years. He's had some rough games, but he's had some good games, but he's generally been fairly consistent. I think he might be worth keeping starting for a little while because, again, you're looking at J.J. McCarthy, who is now hurt the second time in his career, in his second season, which was also essentially his debut. I don't know. But Carson Wentz is really good. I think he's underrated right now, and I think this game is going to show it. But the problem is when you have a battle of the backups like this, we can give Carson Wentz credit all we want, or we can just say it was just bad performance by the Bengals defense, whatever it may be. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's really not a whole lot, you know, that I expected for it to go differently. The only thing that kind of surprised me, I will say, is I kind of anticipated the Bengals to produce a little bit more. I figured the Vikings were going to
fight. That's all I was looking for.
At least.
I was looking for a fight in between them. Like, I wasn't saying that the Bengals were going to just dust them. But we were looking for a fight out there. And what we saw was murder. They beat every bit of sense out of the Bengals for some reason, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We're going to have to get something together and real fast before the Bengals be out of it for the entire year. Period.
Hey, them Bengals are in trouble, man. They might have to go to free agency, see if they can get up a get themselves into the quarterback. Although, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of quarterback options. Also, score update for you if you didn't notice, or for anybody else who's not watching but listening to this. 14-7, Lions lead. Oh, yay.
Yeah, David Montgomery got in that end zone. They started using David. They're going to have to. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to end up getting pummeled out there. The Ravens' defense is crazy.
Gibbs is definitely not getting the touches that Montgomery is. But anyway.
Here comes Derrick Henry with another touchdown because they're on the one.
Mm-hmm. So what game do you want to talk about next? I kinda wanna touch on the Texans and the Jaguars.
Yeah, we could touch on that. It's really, to me, there's nothing really to speak of on it. But I like how the Jaguars perform. Like I said, the Jaguars are a nice team. They just have some real issues when it comes to performance, even their stars. So I didn't expect the Jaguars to go in there and get beaten because the same could be said about the Texans. The Texans are just as bad at, you know, performance-wise and injuries.
I mean, here's my reason why. The Texans have a much better, in my opinion, especially offensively, they have a much better team than the Texans. The Texans are underperforming and they're underwhelming. The Jaguars are that. The Texans are supposed to be the opposite. They've got Nick Chubb, who granted is injury like crazy. His whole career has been riddled with them. You know, you got Nico Collins, you got CJ Stroud. I mean, like, when you look at the Texans, you would think that this would be the team that...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You would see that would be, I mean, they got Schultz at tight end. I mean, they're not a bad team. They really just, they need to figure out, you know, something that will be consistent. But the Jaguars, man, like.
In CJ's defense, he lost one of his main targets last year.
He did.
We know it was a bad situation with Tank Dell.
Mm-hmm.
He's just right now they're having to move around too much. So the Texans are having a hard go of it. To me, they're still an elite team if they get it all together. Nobody was really having an answer for CJ Stroud last year. Or the year before that. Year before that, he had an awesome rookie.
His rookie year was insane. I mean, the Texans making it to the playoffs, who would have thought? But I don't know. Trevor Lawrence, man, he had zero touchdowns and one interception. He was 20 of 40 for 222 yards. Like, he's just not that. He's year after year, when I see a game that involves Trevor Lawrence, the only games that they win are the games that just seem to be unlikely. And then they lose everything else. They're just terrible. I mean, Etienne, he did his thing. He got a touchdown. I mean, I ain't mad about it, you know, but he ran 16 times for 56 yards. I mean, he's like the only thing, right? He's the only player on the team that seems to do anything right now. I mean, Tank Bigsby is supposed to be right behind him. And last year he had a phenomenal year too, right? They were a good duo in the backfield. And Bigsby is not. He ain't playing hardly at all right now. That was a fumble by Lamar. He got it back, though.
Mm-hmm.
My.
He just snatched his helmet off, though.
I wonder, yeah, I bet you did. Was that a... That was a fourth
down. Nah, they didn't get that back. Yeah, that was a fourth down.
Snap, that's that Lions defense coming up right there. Ooh, okay.
Love to see it. I love to see it.
Face, too.
Yeah, and you know what? Derrick Henry just tried to get in there three times and couldn't do it. That's what I love to see. Name me a team that stopped Derrick Henry three times at the one.
You know what that is. That's his age.
But I feel like it's not – you can't chalk it up to age at this point. Right now, at the one-yard line, he should have been able to get in there. I chalk that up to the Lions' defense being a beast.
Well, I give it to you on that. I think you're right. Although – that offensive line maybe didn't do their job the most. I mean, granted, the Lions' defense is just... They don't look as mean as they did last year, but they do. They still be doing good in them goal line stands.
They do their job. That's all I'm saying. They do their job. But moving on to the next game, I really wanted to touch on the Browns and Packers game. I'm a little into this one, sir. Because, you know, your team fucked.
Man, listen.
In the Packers, and now they just gave us something. That bitch.
Sir, this one hurts. Listen, that offensive line was abysmal. Terrible. I'm not saying the Browns was any better. We got after Joe Flacco, too. But, sir, the amount of pain. Love got sacked 5 times. Listen. Jordan Love stats. Listen to this. 18 of 25, 183 yards. 72% wouldn't be bad if you know you actually had yards to really amount to much. Touchdown, 1 interception, sacked 5 times. Raw fury. Okay. Joe Flacco. Sleepy old Joe Flacco. 21 of 36 for 142 yards. No touchdowns, 1 interception, sacked twice. Judkins had a touchdown. He had a touchdown. He was 18 rushes, 94 yards.
Everybody, this is how Ben processes the losses that the Packers deserve.
Okay, here's the thing.
So listen,
I process losses normally like anybody else would, I think. But to lose like we did to Cleveland, a block.
Y'all deserve it. Y'all didn't put up any type of fight to the Browns.
We didn't. You're right. We didn't. Our defense did, but so did theirs. It was a defensive game, and it was 10-0 going into the fourth. And our defense did an amazing job. Micah Parsons is truly a game changer. But so is Myles Garrett. However, Myles Garrett's a little bit older, and, you know, his career will eventually end a little bit sooner than Micah Parsons. But, unfortunately, that didn't mean anything for this game. And, well, Love had not enough time in the pocket. Being sacked 5 times is crazy. Our offensive line is just an embarrassment, and that is, as always, the Packers' main problem. No matter what we do, LaFleur cannot get that offensive line fixed. We can change up offensive line coaches. We can get new people. We can recruit and get veterans and out of free agency. We can retain our better players. Injuries continue to shred us year after year. We do not have an offensive line that is built for success. We never have, and I feel like we never will. Jordan Love just did not look confident. He looked uncomfortable, and I get it. When you have a guy like Myles Garrett breathing down your throat every play, I get it. I feel like I'd probably do the same thing. I mean, I'd be terrified to go up against that man. His offensive line just looked like they did. Wait a minute. What just happened in this game? Okay, is this an interception? I don't know. I wasn't fully paying attention, but something's happening. But anyway, so Green Bay, they failed. They failed miserably. The blocked kick, I don't know what else there is to say other than, like, this is just... It was just crazy. It was a fluke. The best time block I've ever seen. And I don't know. The heartbreak of watching that game fall away, watching those, I don't even know. I'm out of words at this point on what happened in that game. But I can't make any excuses. There's for the Packers. They sold themselves out in that game. They caused themselves to lose. The Browns didn't do a single thing to them. Not at all. I mean, you're going to eventually get something going if your opponent is off the field all the time. Now, that they were too, but inevitably somebody's going to score, and both teams scored. Just in the end, where it mattered, the Browns performed, got a few lucky breaks, because let's be honest, I do believe that most field goals that are blocked are truly lucky plays for the defense. Yeah, I mean, it takes the gods lining everything up perfectly. You know, Goodell himself having to reach out there and get his fingers in that play, because I swear there's no other way for that to ever happen, because it never happens when you expect it. I just kind of at that point have to just say we have to eat that loss, and we're just going to have to do a lot better. The pain is real. I am, man, you know, well,
right.
Well, I don't want to knock Ferguson by any stretch. I actually am a huge fan of, you know, tight ends that make plays. Ferguson is another one of the tight ends. I don't know. I just, something about a tight end making a play is, it's different than a receiver. Like, you expect it from the receiver. Tight ends, they're just more fun to watch. But it didn't matter. You know, the only thing that I think I might would potentially give Dak, okay, in the offense, is CeeDee Lamb being hurt. That definitely takes away a key piece of your offense. They're going to be struggling without the next couple of weeks. I think he's looking at 3 to 4 weeks. I am not going to say that it's an excuse, but if I was a quarterback and I know that my running game is definitely not the best, it's done good, but it's not the best, I would be more concerned, I guess, you know, about having a solid true number one receiver. Pickens was never meant to be a number one. He should not be the number one. He is the number two, the distraction, or he's the second option. If Lamb's covered or he draws the attention on his route and let Lamb break free, like that's what he's there for. But when you now have to put this guy he's young, he's fast, he's got good hands, like he's not a bad receiver, but you take and put him in that position because you're down your true number one, a guy who is by many standards an elite receiver, one of the best in the league. You know, you take him out of the equation, you're making it easier for defenses. And the Bears defense, they had a pretty good game against Dak. I mean, there ain't no denying it. He threw two interceptions. I mean, Milton came out and played. He threw a pick too. I mean, three interceptions from Dallas, that does not bode well. And ultimately, when your defense is creating those types of turnovers in that amount, yeah, I mean, you're gonna give your offense enough time, and Caleb Williams just came out there to play. There's something I think I want to put out there, and I've said this before. I think the Cowboys are going to have one of the worst years that they've had in a long, long time. I think this is probably something one would expect. I don't think I expected Caleb Williams to do what he did, but I've been saying the Cowboys, it's not their year by any stretch. And I know I'm going to be right about that. And losing a game to them, to the Bears like that, is going to be crazy. And if the Packers bounce back after this loss and beat them next week, I definitely feel like I'm right. Hey, now, I do want to say one thing. I will say I liked, you know, I think Odunze, he did really well. He was 3 for 62, and he had a touchdown, you know. But Burden, man, dude went crazy. 3 targets, 3 catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. He definitely helped them out a lot. Almost 300 yards. Whew, 298 yards, man. It's all right. Green Bay's got their number when we play him. It's okay. All right. What game we'll talk on next? I was kind of thinking about that Commanders and Raiders game.
Okay.
I don't have a whole lot to say about them, but they impressed me. Mariota had a field day.
Well, actually, I don't know. I wouldn't say he had a field day. I mean, he was 15 to 21 for 207 yards, and he threw a touchdown.
So, he did. So do you think a performance like this with Mariota could put him back out there in the market for maybe even what I'm getting, I guess, for like a chance to get a starting job somewhere? Because think about it. The last couple of seasons, there have been quarterbacks. I mean, we could talk about Sam Darnold. I mean, he had a phenomenal year last year, at least phenomenal enough for his stat line. And now he's still starting, right? He's not the only quarterback that's done that. I mean, let's be honest. Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, and Jones over there in Indy, he shouldn't be a starter. He's a back, but yet he's starting and playing insane in Indy. I mean, we could talk about other quarterbacks, and we don't got enough time to do all this, but I mean, do you think that a game like this, filling in for Jaden Daniels, do you think this makes an argument that he might be somebody for a team that needs a quarterback of his style, maybe to start targeting a guy like him for a starting role again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the job done. They shut down the Raiders offense, and there really ain't much else to say. I mean, the Commanders are still winning with or without Daniels. So, I mean, I'm here for it. I guess we could quickly knock out this Steelers-Patriots game. There's not a whole lot to talk about there. I mean, we both called the Steelers winning this one. We pretty much called the stat or the score line. We didn't say specifically numbers, I don't think, but we said it was going to be a closer, lower scoring game. I mean, 21-14 isn't low, but like it's low enough. I feel like we pretty much called that one correctly. He does. Jalen Warren ran 18 times and he only got 47 yards. Never found the end zone. Got the ball 5 times for 34. So, I mean, his total yardage was sub 100, and he touched the ball 22 times. You know, I do agree with you on the help behind him. I also think that just in general, the receiving core is kind of hit or miss. I mean, Calvin Austin, DK Metcalf, Smith. I mean, Freiermuth, like, he's got some names. But, like, honestly, Austin's been the biggest surprise for me. I picked him up in a couple of my fantasy leagues. I'm not starting him yet, but I'm definitely keeping him on my list because I think he could be a breakout player for him. DK is getting covered a lot, so his ability to convert them catches and stuff are a little bit less. He got a touchdown, but I think if you were talking about a team that wasn't the Patriots, I think it would be subpar and they would have lost that game. But, you know, they beat the Patriots, so I guess good for them. I'm not going to really count them out or count them anything other than, you know, potential contenders because the record currently keeps them there. But I'm sorry if you put the Steelers up against the Ravens right now. No. They beat the Bengals. Sure. Would they beat the Browns? Sure. I feel pretty comfortable saying that. But I don't know that they would beat the Ravens in that division. And that's going to be a telling thing because, well, let's be honest. Again, you're talking about outside of the Browns, what was going to be one of the more competitive divisions in the league, now kind of iffy, but you're talking Aaron Rodgers, who's older, who's on a team that is not quite what he's used to, but I don't know. I digress. I've got feelings about Rodgers for many different reasons, both good and bad. So I don't know about you, but I want to bounce a couple more of these games and call our wrap for tonight. Okay. So week 4, a Seahawks Cardinals, that's going to be a fun match on Thursday night. I'm kind of torn on that game. I think that's going to be a really competitive game. Again, another phenomenal game that's not, you know, Sunday. Thursday game, again, phenomenal this year. I'm torn on that. I could see that being almost an overtime game, but I do think in the end that the Cardinals will edge them out a little bit. I think it'll be a decent game, and I think that'll be a Cardinals win. They only lost by 1 point to the Niners, and I'll tell you, I think it was because their defense just didn't keep the pace up. It was a very low-scoring game, so I'm with you. I think the Cards are a good team, and I think they might be a sleeper. Minnesota and Pittsburgh, I think it's going to be a fun game. I do think Minnesota dominates them. So this might be Cam Ward's breakout game, to be honest. I mean, you got to look at it. The Texans' offense has not been producing, right? The Titans' defense, even if they lose, this might be his breakout game to where he actually finds the ability to get some rhythm built. You're going into week 4, got a couple games down, a couple of tough games for sure. And then you're going up against the Texans who have just completely bottomed out in the division. Just absolutely garbage. Going up against another garbage team in the same division, you know it's going to be a competitive game at that point. I mean, at this point, the Colts pretty much have that division on lock. So I don't see anything happening unless the Jags turn around and go nuts, which, again, just not going to happen. So I think Cam Ward will get a chance to ball out a little bit here. And yeah, I think that's how that one's going to go. Don't mean they're going to win. I still think the Texans are going to take it, but I do think Cam Ward will have a good game. Garbage time. That right there, that's a 1 o'clock game for a reason. That's going to be boring as can be. Okay. Game of the day right here, or at least one of the games of the day. I don't know. There's a couple good ones, but the Eagles and the Bucks, 1 o'clock game. As much as I like what the Bucks are doing this year, and I kind of want to see the Eagles take their first loss, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to beat the Bucks. Mike Evans is hurt. Hegbuka's doing good, but he's still favoring that injury. That Cade Otton hasn't been performing quite well like he was last year. There's a lot of issues on the Bucks offense right now. They got to get Bucky Irvin going. They got to keep him going. He's been doing good, but they got to keep him doing good. And they got to figure out a way to continue to move the ball. And with Mike Evans sidelined at the very least this week, I do anticipate the Eagles taking this win. But the Bucks defense is going to be probably the deciding factor on that. If they can stop the Eagles a few times, we might have a different conversation. But I do think, unfortunately, that
the Eagles are going to take this game. So, yep, I'm with you. Yep, yep. Washington, Atlanta. I would like to say that Washington is going to probably dogpile all over them. Atlanta's not winning this one, I don't think. You disagree? All right. Detroit, Cleveland. I hope Cleveland beats Detroit. We really need them to beat Detroit because it helps us out in the long run in the playoff picture if we are able to stay competitive in Green Bay. But I do think if we're being realistic here and Detroit plays halfway competent, then they're going to beat Cleveland. I'm with you. Okay, there's only a couple other games I really think that are highlight games for the rest of this coming week four. The Bears and the Raiders, I think that'll be a good game. But I think the Rams and the Colts are going to be another good one. I think the Rams are going to beat the Colts. I think the Colts are going to take their first loss. The Chiefs and the Ravens, I think that the Chiefs are going to win. I actually think if the Ravens lose tonight, I think they're going to start sliding. And I think the Chiefs are going to win. Obviously, Sunday night with the Packers and the Cowboys, I don't know what to think about this game at this point. So I'm just going to leave that one alone. And then I will talk about it when we record our next episode after that game. We can get maybe more into that on Wednesday. Yep. Jets, Dolphins. I think that if you're going to get a win, it's going to be this week against the Jets. That concussion, the whole concussion thing is quite familiar. So maybe Tua will have some sort of like, oh, this is my inspirational moment. Yeah, I think the Dolphins get their first win against the Jets and the Bengals and the Broncos. Actually, honestly, for what it's worth, I still think the Bengals win this game. I just don't think the Broncos are going to do it. However, I'll probably be wrong, but that's my view on that. They're 1-2 for a reason there, and I think it's because as good as they can be, their potential is there. They just don't seem to reach it too much. I don't know. But it was. Look forward to our next episode. Not really. I mean, I would like to, the fans, I'd like to say, you know, this is something that we're still getting used to. This is only our third episode, guys. You know, so we value all the input and feedback that you would want to give. We always are open to ideas and suggestions. You also could tune into our TV show through Global Metro TV. It's called Numbers and Beyond. You know, it's similar to this, but a little more structured, I guess, and one might say in how much time we have. But this is what we do. We have a passion for this stuff, and we value everything, every view, every download, every listen, every share, all of that, because it contributes towards us being able to bring our thoughts and our opinions to you guys. Something else you may notice is we now have ads coming into the episodes. It's new, so we're kind of adjusting to that, so bear with us. Again, we value all sorts of feedback from you guys, and whether you all know Will and hit Will up or hit me up or hit up our Facebook page, Beyond the Numbers, we're open to anything you guys have. We want to make it better for everybody that's listening, not just for ourselves. So that's my final thoughts. You got anything else, man?
Okay.
All right. Peace, guys.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.